tomorrow at 7 o'clock, from 7 o'clock, you can cast your vote if you're a citizen of Ireland and over the age of 18 in the presidential election. But exactly what do you need to do and what should you have with you? I'm delighted to say we are joined on the line by Art O'Leary, who's Chief Executive of An Cumasúin Toghchán. They're the Electoral Commission. And Art, I'll get straight into it because we have a lady living in Listowel. She has not received her voting card yet. She says a couple of her friends are also in the same boat. What should they do?
Good morning, Tracy. Nice to be on the show again. Yeah, we regularly get queries like this, when people don't get polling cards. The important thing to note is that you do not need your polling card in order to vote. So you just need a form of ID when you get to the polling station. I do have some sympathy for An Post here, whose job it is to deliver the polling cards. They've got 3.6 million polling cards to deliver in this 10-day window. And it's a bit like the socks that go missing in your washing machine. Some of them just never arrive. So don't worry about it. You don't need your polling card in order to vote. If you have concerns about whether you're on the register or not, just go on to checktheregister.ie to confirm that you're on the register and the details we have for you are correct. But if you have successfully voted in all of our electoral events last year, the chances are you are perfectly fine to go and vote tomorrow.
And do you need to bring ID with you?
Yeah, you should. I mean, about one in four voters are asked for ID. And if you're asked for ID and you don't have it, then you won't be allowed to vote. So bring along a passport or a driver's license or a student ID card or something. There's a list of acceptable forms of ID on our Electoral Commission website, electoralcommission.ie. So most people have some kind of work ID with a photograph or something with them anyway, and all of that will suffice. But it's important to bring it along. Your polling card may not be enough.
And could I ask you this question? We have to be mindful because we are treating this now as a moratorium period, so we are limiting kind of any sort of commentary or news that could influence the outcome of tomorrow's election. But in general terms, one of the candidates on the ballot, he's withdrawn from the race, but his name is still on the ballot because it was too late to take it out. How does that work? If a person casts a vote for that person and then a number two and number three, are those number twos and number threes taken into account?
Yeah, well, if no candidate is elected on the first count, then any number two preferences for any candidate on the ballot paper will be transferred in the normal way. You know, as you said, it was too late to take Jim Gavin off the ballot paper because many of the postal votes had already been issued at that point. So it was simply too late. So any vote cast for any of the three candidates on the ballot paper is a valid vote and will be counted in the normal way. So if no candidate is elected on the first count, having reached the quota, then it'll move on to a second count, which will include the second preferences of whoever comes third in the race. You know, so it is very normal. It's very technical, and people should treat all three candidates on the ballot paper as live candidates.
And of course, if you choose to just put number one to one candidate, you can do that. Or if you just prefer to put one and two to two of the three candidates, you can do that as well. But there is the option open there to go one, two, three on the ballot, paper tomorrow.
I mean, there can only be two counts, you know, so there's probably not much point in going one, two, three, but certainly one, two, your second preference could certainly be in play after the first count tomorrow if nobody reaches the quota.
Will you stay with us, Art? Because we're getting questions in, and
sure.
And we're just going through them here and sorting through them. So we're talking to Art O'Leary, who's Chief Executive of An Cumasúin Toghchán, and they are the Electoral Commission. And he's giving us advice on what you need to do and what you need not to do as well if you are eligible to vote in tomorrow's presidential election. Polling opens at 7 a.m. tomorrow. The time now is 10, no, actually it's 16 minutes after 10. So when we come back, we'll get to more of your questions for Art O'Leary of An Cumasúin
Toghcháin.
And we're joined on the line by Art O'Leary, who's Chief Executive of An Cumasúin Toghcháin, the Electoral Commission. And he's answering your questions as to what you need to do so you can vote in tomorrow's presidential election. Listener wants to know this, Art, if you could answer this. Why bother sending out polling cards if you only have to go along with ID to your local polling station? What's the point of them?
Yeah, it's a polling information card. Basically, it tells you where your polling station is, particularly if you're a new voter, and it gives you details of the election that's involved and some other advice, like if you get polling cards for people who are no longer living at your house, etc. So it explains the nature of the election, because we always assume, or it's easy perhaps to assume, that everybody is as up to speed on what's going on electorally, but that's not often the case. You know, some people don't realise that there's an election coming until they see the posters going up on the lampposts. And it's just an extra mechanism to inform people about the nature of the election and what's involved.
Another person says, someone told me you can't take a photo inside the polling station. Surely that can't be right.
No, it's absolutely right. The Constitution says that your vote is private and it's secret and it should be kept to yourself. So people sometimes try to take photographs of their ballot papers or selfies of themselves voting. So other voters who are in the polling station are entitled to their own privacy as well. So we encourage people to take photographs outside the polling station, going in to vote or coming out, just to stick it on social media to tell their friends that they have voted and they have engaged, and to encourage other people to get involved. But the privacy of the ballot is one of the most fundamental aspects of the way we vote in this country.
And that makes complete sense as to why you can't take a photograph or a selfie of yourself inside the polling station or casting your vote. But as you said there, if it's outside the polling station, if it's at the entrance to the building where people are voting, you can do that. And actually, there's some, yes, just as an aside, I think one of the nice things about general elections or any sort of elections, when you see trending on social media, is when people take photographs of their dogs outside polling stations.
we have put them in some of our annual reports and everything, because it just adds to the character of electoral events, because it shows how normal things are. People go and walk their dog, and while they're out walking, they go in and vote and tie the dog up outside. You know, so I think it's an important point, Trasa, because half of the people who didn't vote in the general election said that they couldn't vote, you know, so because they had work commitments or they were away from home on the day, or they had care and responsibilities. So we're asking people to make a plan, you know, so we'll try and carve out half an hour to get to your local polling station and to go and vote at some point during the day tomorrow. You mentioned they're opening at 7 a.m. and they close at 10. And this will do just fine.
Okay, so just to reiterate that, if you're deciding, I'm only casting a vote for one of the candidates on the ballot, you can put number one, or an X or a tick is acceptable as well. But if you want to give a number two to someone, to another candidate on the ballot, well, then you have to go down the 1-2 route.
Correct. Yes. Yep.
Now, more coming in, and I think this is a good question, because sometimes I certainly that we might take things for granted that everybody knows the ins and outs of our proportional representation system, which is rather complicated. Someone says, Arch was talking there about a quota. What do you mean by that?
The quota is the minimum number of votes required to get a majority in an election. So in a presidential election where the electorate here is 3.6 million, let's assume turnout was 50%. So that means that there are 1.8 million voters. So in order to get a majority for 1.8 million voters, then the quota will be half of that, plus one vote. So it'll be 900,000 votes plus one. So it's half of the valid electorate. So some people will end up boiling their votes. So they're deducted from the number of valid votes, and we work out the quota, which will be half of all the valid votes in any election.
That's you've explained that really well and really clearly as well, because we do have quite a complicated system in Ireland, well, proportional representation, but I think it's far superior than what they have in Britain, where it's first past the post. But that explains it really well.
The Irish people are very fond of their voting system, and twice in our history there has been a referendum of the people to change it to first past the post, and on both occasions the Irish people said no. You know, so there are two countries who vote exactly the same way as we do, PRSTV, and that's ourselves and Malta. And surely we both can't be wrong. You know, Irish people love this system because it is so proportionate, and we get the politicians that we vote for. It's very, very good, very, very good, particularly in Dáil elections where we have 3 and 4 or 5 seat constituencies, where smaller parties who have a smaller share of the vote still have the opportunity to get seats in the larger constituencies.
What assistance is there if you have a visual impairment and you're trying to cast your vote in the election tomorrow?
You should speak to the polling clerk or the presiding officer in the polling station and ask for there's a Braille template. There's also a phone line that you can ring, which will give you the candidates in the order that they are. I mean, there'll be an alphabetical order on the ballot paper. So Catherine Connolly, Jim Gavin and Heather Humphreys in that order. But if anybody has any difficulty, if they have a disability or anything that might prevent them from voting, then the polling staff have been trained to provide whatever support and assistance is required for every voter to ensure that they can vote safely. So if you have any difficulty at all, just mention it to the polling clerk and they'll take care of you. And another thing I should say, that if you make a mistake when you're filling out your ballot paper, you put one in the wrong box, oh no, I didn't mean to do that, just bring your ballot paper back to the polling clerk and ask for a fresh one. So they'll put that ballot paper aside and it won't be counted, and they'll give you a fresh ballot paper where you can go again.
And just looking at your website, Art, electoralcommission.ie, it says that if you're a wheelchair user or you have difficulties accessing your polling station, you can apply in writing to the returning officer of your constituency, but applications to vote at an alternative polling station must be received at least a week in advance of polling day.
Yeah, so it's too late now for that. But I mean, we're always saying that, I mean, every single polling station in the country should be accessible, wheelchair accessible. You know, it's the minimum that we should be looking for. There are a very, very small number of those polling stations which aren't accessible. They're normally in rural areas, and they're normally small schools which were built 100 years ago, and they haven't been brought up to code yet. But we're working so hard with the Department of Housing, the Custom House, who manage the elections, and with returning officers to reduce the number of inaccessible stations to zero. So there should be, even if they're not wheelchair accessible, they should have temporary ramps in to help people with wheelchairs, etc. But again, if they require any assistance at all, please ask one of the polling staff for assistance and they'll do their best to help.
Are you worried at Ancommishun, Tamishun, Aucon, the Electoral Commission, Art, are you worried that there could be a high degree of spoiled votes? I'll just give you an example there from a question that's come in from a listener talking about, and it's clear that they want to spoil their vote, and they just say, can I just write no one? Well, does that, you know, obviously that will spoil your vote, but is it a concern that you have that maybe people might spoil their vote? There might be higher levels of votes being spoiled than in previous elections.
Yeah, a person is of course can choose to spoil their vote. You know, it's something that some people choose to do. And the only point we make in response to that is that one of the candidates on the ballot paper is going to be elected president. And if you spoil your vote, then your voice won't be heard in making that selection. So people will make up their own mind in the privacy of the polling booth. The thing I always worry about is people who spoil their vote by accident. You know, the people who put in multiple ones or multiple X's, or if their ballot paper isn't stamped by the polling clerk. These are the people that we really need to get to let them know how to vote properly. And there's a brilliant video on our website, electoralcommission.ie. It's very short. It's less than 3 minutes, which shows you everything that happens from the moment you turn up at the door of the polling station. So if you're a first-time voter, and I'm delighted that we have 61,000 new voters who weren't eligible to vote. The last time we had an election last November in the general election. And I'm hoping that many of these first-time voters are people who turned 18 since November, and this is their first opportunity to vote. So if just to bring yourself up to speed in relation to how it works and what happens, that video is really helpful, and people should log on and have a look at it. It's well worth it.
And someone asked this question. I imagine, given the fact that there are only three candidates on the ballot paper and one of them has withdrawn from the race, it shouldn't take too long to figure out when the winner will be announced. You would imagine that, given the fact that there are so few candidates running this time.
Well, this entirely depends on turnout. You know, I mean, if we get a really high turnout, then there's more votes to be counted. And so that might take a little longer. So all of the count centres all around the country, in each of the Dáil constituencies, the votes will be counted in the normal way, and all the votes will be returned to Dublin Castle, where they're all added up, and the results of each count will be announced from Dublin Castle. I think the last time I was actually working in Áras an Uachtaráin for the last presidential election. And if I remember correctly, the first count was sometime between 7 and 8 p.m. So I suspect it might be something similar, perhaps.
7 or 8 p.m. Saturday. Or possibly even earlier. But earlier, given the fact there are fewer candidates. But then again, as you said, it all depends on the turnout. We're nearly out of time. But could I ask you one last question that's come in from a listener? And I think you were talking there about giving a particular shout out to young voters, people who will be able to vote for the first time, who've turned 18 since the last election back in November. Aileen gets in touch and says, why can't there be polling in colleges to give students a chance to cast their votes? They do it in nursing homes, and the election will be Friday, so it's possible that some third level students may not be in a position to get home to cast their vote. It's something worth considering, is it?
Yeah, I think we do find, you know, we do need to find an easier way for people to vote, because as I mentioned, half the people who didn't vote the last time said they couldn't vote because they're away, etc., from the day. You know, for students in particular, students are entitled to apply for a postal ballot if they're going to be studying away from home. So if you're from Kerry and you're studying in Cork or Dublin, then you could have applied for a postal vote, so which would have been sent to you a couple of weeks before the election, and you would have voted and it would have counted from your own home. But we are going to do some extra research next year into postal voting and advance voting, which is, you know, people who are away on holidays are going to be away on the day that they may be able to go and vote in advance at a time that suits them.
Because they can't do that at the moment. If you're on holiday,
right,
you can't.
Now, no. Yeah, you have to turn up in a particular place on a particular day in between particular hours. And if you can't do any of those things, then you can't vote. And we're exploring the possibility of we might make it a little easier for people to vote. So that's something to look forward to next year.
Well, look, Art, thank you for taking your time to talk to us this morning. That's been really interesting. Art O'Leary, Chief Executive of An Cumasúin Toghchán, the Electoral Commission, answering your questions as to what we need to do and what we shouldn't be doing, like trying to take photographs of ourselves in the polling booths when the polls open tomorrow at 7 a.m. Voting opens at 7 a.m. tomorrow and continues until 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Get out and vote.